In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Just be yourself. You know, just be yourself. Be authentic and, let it come to you, which he's done. He's worked his tail off. He's preparing. You know, he's got great passion, in the practice and in the games. And that'll all come to him naturally.
All right, that's Matt Eberflus, the head coach of the Chicago Bears, on the announcement. Caleb Williams, rookie captain for the Bears for the 2024 season. Chuck Swirsky with you. Alex Kuhn is producing our program right here on 670 The Score. Always a pleasure until 6. Then we have Cubs and Pirates. And joining us, the man who covers the Chicago Bears, one of the best in the business, that is Mark Brody, with some great news today, not only for Caleb, but for others who have been announced as captains for the Chicago Bears, with the NFL opener for the Bears just around the corner Sunday against the Titans. Bears favored by 4.5 points. Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Chuck. Yeah, you have Caleb Williams named a captain, Jalen Johnson another one, DJ Moore, TJ Edwards, Cole Kmet, Tremaine Edmonds, Kevin Byard, Mercedes Lewis, and actually, Chuck, since we're right on this topic right now, Matt Eberflus, this was kind of interesting. Matt Eberflus been coaching in the NFL for a long time, with his days in Dallas and then to Indianapolis and now to the Bears, and obviously a ton of stuff in college football as well, where he played the game. But this is what Matt Eberflus said about Caleb Williams, a rookie, being named a team captain. Check this out, Chuck.
Yeah, I haven't had that before. But again, I put it to a vote. I had it with offense and defense, and I had the guys rank those guys, and he came out really high. So, and all those guys did. That's what's great about it. And we had other guys that had great votes too, just not enough to get into that captain's vote. But that's a really good sign that he's got leadership throughout the entire team.
Yeah, he won this team over fast, man. And the reason that it's important, I mean, it is like he should be a captain, just the way I've watched him interact and comport himself since day one of the OTAs that I've been out here for. It's really important because, as if it wasn't already behind the Bears, at the end of the Justin Fields era, I heard the word mutiny used, the way the locker room was going to conduct themselves if Justin Fields was gone and they bring in a new guy. So not only has there not been a mutiny, these guys seem to really love Caleb Williams, the personality, and we can, all the stuff about his personality out the window, like some of the skepticism that had existed. And then just the fact that he played well enough during these OTAs and training camp, Chuck, to have the veterans in that locker room say, yeah, we're going to name you a captain. So it really is significant, and more significant than I think maybe people even realize.
Wow. Well, again, he deserves it. Honestly, he does.
Yeah.
And I think it's not only his personality, it's his leadership. This kid is not just a typical, even by saying this, I mean, listen, when you're number one, lots expected. But this kid had it long before he got drafted first by the Bears. Let's be honest. He had the mojo at USC.
Absolutely did. No doubt about it. And, you know, we, having not known Caleb Williams before this, having not covered him, you really only get to know somebody when, you know this, Chuck, when you're out there every day with the person. And he has, as the Bears were saying, that he has exceeded expectations. He has gone beyond what they thought that he would do for them. As a matter of fact, this works out perfectly too. Let me play this DJ Moore cut that I have as well, and that is, hey, DJ Moore is a veteran who just got paid, who has not had a winning season in his life, who dealt with bad quarterbacks in Carolina, who dealt with an average quarterback in Justin Fields. We know how much he supported Justin Fields, understandably, but DJ Moore was asked the question, I think by John Greenberg, are you surprised by Caleb Williams's progress?
Nah, he ain't surprised me. I mean, when you're number one overall pick, you better go out there and make some shake. Look, I'm about to curse, but you better make some shake. And he went out there and exceeded everything that we had set for him.
Exceeded it. And, yeah, I mean, he's right, too, Chuck. I mean, if you're the number one overall pick, yeah, you shouldn't be surprised to see really good things happening.
Well, you know what? The team hasn't played a game yet, so everyone's talking about chemistry for every NFL team. Let's be honest. Everyone's optimistic. Everyone's thinking playoffs. Everyone's, you know, just having a great time, respectively, whether it's in Chicago, L.A., New York, Dallas. Everyone's feeling the vibe. And then reality sets in. Give me an idea about the Bears as far as heading into week one. What are you looking for? What are some concerns?
Yeah, I'm looking for, I'll start with Caleb Williams and what I have been telling people and what I feel is going to happen with Caleb Williams is that you are going, if you paid attention to the preseason games, if you paid attention to my Bears reports, what you heard and what you saw is what I think you are going to see exactly with Caleb Williams. And this can kind of encompass answers to both of your questions. There's going to be some bad moments for Caleb Williams. There's going to be moments like in the Buffalo preseason game where there's going to be three straight three and outs. There's going to be times where he's going to throw interceptions or he's going to throw behind a guy like we saw early on in that game as well. And you're going to palm the forehead. But then you're going to see moments where he gets himself out of trouble, finds comfort in the pocket again, and then flings the ball 45 yards down the field to Roma Dunze. So I think that Caleb Williams is both the big bonus and both a concern. I mean, that because he's a rookie quarterback who likes to make big plays, and with that comes turnover. So you're not going to see this perfect product right away with the Bears. I think that if you're looking at overall concerns, I don't know that the overall concerns have changed on this team. And one of those is, you know, I know that they've brought in a couple of extra defenders here at the end of camp, but you still wonder how it's going to look as far as the Bears getting to the quarterback. Can they exceed, they better exceed the 30 sacks that they had last year. But at this moment, you are depending on everybody that is on this roster or those that are, you know, directed to go after the quarterback. We are depending on progress at this point. We're depending on Jervon Dexter to have progressed. You're depending on Zach Pickens to have gotten better. You are depending on DeMarcus Walker to be the guy that they paid to bring in here. And the guy, you know, he was injured last year a lot. So much of this, I think, going into this year is dependent on and hoping from the Bears' sake that one of those is this the year, in his third year, that Dominique Robinson finally starts to figure out and get it together. Could Austin Booker actually be the high energy, high motor, getting to the quarterback guy that we saw at times in the preseason game and games and at times during training camp? You know, that's not what he was always. You know, he's not just out here getting to the quarterback every time. There's still a lot of progress to be made, but they are dependent upon that. We know how good the back seven is. So defensive line still has concerns. And then, you know, offensive line, which has not stopped being a concern for the Bears. It seems much better situated now that Nate Davis is healthy and looks like he will be your opening day starting right guard. Coleman Shelton seems to have been smooth as your center, but let's see it once the games get going. And has Braxton Jones, again, you're depending on Braxton Jones to have made another step forward. Same thing with Darnell Wright. You know, Darnell Wright was good last year for a rookie, but he needs to jump up and take another step forward. So you're depending on a lot of that with both sides of the line right now.
Mark Grody is our guest right here on 670 The Score, talking Bears football. So, Mark, how do you think head coach Matt Eberflus has grown as a head coach with the Bears?
I think he's got better command. I mean, that's obvious to me. I mean, they throughout, and I was a little bit critical of this, but maybe I don't need to be, that on HBO Hard Knocks, they seem to make such a point in every episode of showing Matt Eberflus teaching Caleb Williams, not just coaching him, but teaching him and showing that. And to me, that might be indicating, and I think Matt Eberflus has said something similar to it, indicating that he is going to be more a part of the offense and more a part of the development of this rookie quarterback, because I think he was kind of hands off when it came to his predecessor, Justin Fields. Not that he didn't work with Justin Fields, not that he didn't have a great relationship with him, but I think he left that to Luke Getsy and the offensive staff. My guess is, just the way things have gone, he wants to be more involved with the bigger picture for the Bears. So I think that is, seems to be a budding area of improvement. We still have to see it with him, just like everything. I do think he has better, I'll stick with the theme of command. I think he's got better command with the media, with us. I think he's been a little bit more open in terms of, you know, not being afraid to say things that he's allowed to say. So, you know, he's still an NFL coach. He's still going to hold back on a lot of information, but I do think that he has gotten better and more open with that. So it's a more vibrant coach. You know, one of the things, Chuck, is I think that, you know, I really believe that he was just as relieved as anybody to have kept his job going into this year, because he didn't want to be left out of this. And I think if you look at it objectively, and I've been critical of Matt Eberflus as anybody, I didn't know if he should come back this year, but you look at it and you say, man, he does deserve a shot to see what he can do with a real roster, because he just has not had that benefit since coming to the Bears. So I think part of it, and I know sports and life is not fair, I don't think it would have been fair to have left Matt Eberflus out of that. Now, he's under the microscope now, and he's got to perform. But that's like everybody else on this team now. Now the lights are on. Now there are expectations. Let's see what you can do with that.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I mean, you go in realistically. I mean, I've got the Bears winning 10, 11 games. Detroit's the team to beat in this division, right?
Yeah. Well, I Chuck, I got to say, man, that is not a pick that I would debate heavily against. But if you are asking me the team that scares me the most, unfortunately, it is the Green Bay Packers. And I still can't get that playoff game out of my mind where Green Bay goes into Dallas and demolishes the Cowboys. Detroit had their run to the Super Bowl, and they might be right back there this year, and I might be wrong because it's just a stacked division at this point. But that, to me, that was the Detroit Lions, or excuse me, the Green Bay Packers boxing everybody out and saying, there's a little warning for everybody. Even that last win against the Bears of the season that catapulted them into the playoffs. That's the team that scares me because of what
I saw.
Yeah,
but don't
you
want to see, Mark, excuse me for interrupting, but don't you want to see whether or not Love can do it two straight years?
Yeah, I mean, right, and this is the side that I go to, too. Jordan Love did not look good in his first 7 or 8 games last year. He looked almost like there was a little relief, I think. I remember doing some Bears reports on the afternoon show with Danny and Matt at the time, and basically celebrating the fact that Jordan Love didn't look like he was going to be good. So there's always the possibility that he resorts back to something like that, but to me, it seemed like like, and I know Bears fans don't want to hear this, it seemed like legitimate progression for him, like the perfect kind of progress to a season. And then when you get into the playoffs and you do the thing, like that's why the Green Bay game scares me, because that's on the road and they put on an absolute show. I mean, I don't care about Dallas's tendency to choke in the playoffs and all of that kind of stuff. Like, I get all that. But that's going on the road in a raucous environment in the postseason, and he did that. But I'm not trying to shortchange Detroit in any way, shape, or form. Detroit is really good, and I would imagine that more people are going to pick Detroit to win the division than Green Bay this year. But, look, I mean, until further notice, the Bears are the third-best team in the division.
Mark, what's the injury situation going into the Titans game?
Well, the great part about this week, Chuck, is that we actually get an injury, official injury report on Wednesday. We did not get anything official today. What I can tell you, because I saw it with my own eyes, Keenan Allen, at least in the individual part of practice, was working. I actually put, if you want to check out my Twitter or Instagram, I'm on Twitter these days, at Grody Sports. It's a new thing, at Grody Sports. And then I also put it on Instagram. You could actually see Keenan Allen going through the individual drills, which was heartening because he had been dealing with something. I think it was a foot injury, but we'll find out specifically this week. Also, another guy that is out there that has been down for a while and really heartening to see has been Ryan Bates. I saw him running on the field. And I should point that out. This was the start of the week of practices for now until the rest of the season, where we only get about a 15-minute glimpse of what's going on, and that's usually warm-ups. But those two guys were both out there. I don't know if they practice in full today, but those guys are really important to have out there because Ryan Bates, we know how he was your center. He was filling in at right guard and then he got injured. So we'll see what part he plays, but I can tell you that those two guys were out there and looked comfortable on the practice field today.
All right. Again, the big story coming out of the Bears camp is the players have voted that the Bears have named their captains for the 2024 season, including rookie quarterback Caleb Williams, who becomes a captain without taking one snap thus far in the National Football League. And again, it's a credit to Caleb Williams without any doubt. By the way, you know what, Mark? Tell our listeners, what does it mean as far as when you've been named a captain? What does captain signify?
Yeah, I think it signifies that you have, let's see, how can I put this? You have the right and to some degree the responsibility to address things on the team, whether it is talking to a teammate about doing something better on or off the field, whether maybe it's addressing the locker room, that you have the green light for that, and other players need to know that as well. Now, what is unique about this is 8 captains. I mean, that's a council. that's a whole ship of guys that are leaders on this team, and I know Matt answered a question about that. I think that he does look at it as a group effort, and he wants a good sampling, obviously, from offense and defense. It's a leadership council. And when things are really going wrong, I mean, they have the right to call players-only meetings. They can be the ones – they can play liaison between head coach and players. They can do it with Ryan Poles as well. So it's a significant responsibility. You know, we talked to DJ Moore about it a little bit today in regards to, you know, what he leads by example. But I think there's a good mix of guys that will use their voices more, like Jalen Johnson and Cole Kmet. And then you have the quieter guys like DJ Moore and TJ Edwards. Obviously, Caleb Williams is going to use his voice a lot. I want to play you one more cut because it's from one of the captains, Chuck. And I think just because this has been such a hyped preseason, and I have definitely been part of the hype machine for sure, and I don't apologize for it because we've seen some really good things out of Caleb Williams and his offense this year. And everybody's on board with the Bears, right, Chuck? You just said it, 10, 11 wins. I think I picked the Bears for 11 wins when I was forced to go through the schedule. Here is Jalen Johnson, one of those captains, as we were talking about, giving perspective on this Bears team. Check this out.
I'm done buying into the hype, honestly. So, I mean, like I've said before plenty of times, I've had some pretty good rosters and plenty talented, I mean, people in the locker room. Sometimes we're, oh, yeah, this is our year, this is our year. So, I mean, everything that we got in this locker room, it sounds good, it seems good. I mean, I've seen it. But at the end of the day, none of that matters. I mean, what matters is what we're going to do this weekend. And from every Sunday or Monday, whatever game it is, that's when it matters. So, I mean, the preseason hype for me don't move me either. I mean, Caleb, I mean, everybody, we all got to come in here. We got to work. I mean, just top to bottom, myself. I mean, new contract year. I mean, I don't mean that no more. Okay, we got to come in here. We got to go to work.
Incredible stuff, man. I really thought the perspective was needed.
I love the guy, Mark.
Bit.
You know what?
Yeah.
I listened to him on the station. I love the guy. I mean, I don't know him. I've never met him. I'm just a Joe bag of donuts, watching Bears, listening to Bears, doing everything Bears, because I love the Bears. But I mean, I'm feeling it. I love Jalen Johnson. I mean, I love Caleb Williams. Cole Kmet is my guy. I've never met him, but I mean, you're around these players. There's something about this club and the type of players that they're bringing in that I'm really digging.
Yeah, and it's funny. A lot of times, I sort of just let that kind of stuff breeze past me, because every GM ever in any sport always says we want good people on this team, and we want, you know, guys with, you know, personalities and all that kind of stuff. And you're not everybody's gonna be like that. But I will say that they have done a pretty good job of putting that together. And part of Jalen Johnson's perspective, I think, comes from the fact that he has been here for the tail end of Mitch Trubisky. He was here for all of Justin Fields, and there was a lot of hype with both of those guys as well. So he's got a healthy amount of being jaded. And Chuck too, I got to clarify with you. I didn't know who I was talking to here. So you're Joe Bag of Donuts today. You're not Voice of the Bulls. You're going with the Joe Bag of Donuts today.
When I do a sports talk show,
yes.
Okay,
yes,
I'm just Joe Bag of Donuts.
Yes.
Okay. Nothing special. Just a guy who loves sports, who's got the clicker, who watches the Red Zone when the Bears aren't playing. Because I love going game to game to game. I mean, I'm like the ADD of sports. Okay?
I love it, man. No, yeah. That's why I'm glad. No, I was glad that you said this is Joe Bag of Donuts. Now, when you talk about the Bulls, do you switch over to Voice of the Bulls, or do you still try to keep
Joe Bag of Donuts?
Okay.
The moment, like, once bull season starts, I still follow the Bears because I love the Bears. But but once the bull season starts, I'm 24/7, 365. I have no other, you know, I don't do freelance stuff. I don't go here, I don't go there. I'm all Bulls, okay?
Yes, yes. So, unless the Czar calls.
Unless the Czar calls.
Yeah, right.
But, I mean, once the Bulls start, like October the 8th, when we're in Cleveland, that's it. But, you know, there's something, the thing about Bears football in this town, number one, this is a Bears town, right?
I mean, yeah, it is.
The Bears play once a week. And so the beauty of the NFL is you play, let's say you play on a Sunday. So for the sports fan on sports talk radio, like 670 The Score, you talk Bears football immediately after the game, all day Monday. You're still talking about the ball club on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, in a flick of a switch, it's on to week two. Okay? And you're talking about Houston. Is that their second game, Houston?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you'll be talking about the Texans and C.J. Stroud in the matchup with Caleb Williams, and they'll be going back and forth. Tell me about Stroud. Tell me about Williams. The hype of two young quarterbacks, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the Texans are coming on strong and all that stuff. So, but, I mean, it's unbelievable how you can sense during the course of a week the buildup for a Sunday game.
The NFL script and lifestyle, I think, when I talk about from a media perspective, you're right. It's very exact, and it's perfect because it's nonstop. There is never a day from here on, basically, because today's the first real day of practice heading towards the first real game, that there is always meat on the bone. And the reason that there is so much meat on the bone, Chuck, is what you said at the beginning. It's a Bears town. Look, everybody loves all that. This is the greatest sports town in Chicago, so it's not just a Bears town. We all know that. But there's just that little bit of extra with the Bears, and no matter how much we talk about the Bears, people want more. There's never a time when people don't want Bears talk.
Correct. And, I actually bought a Caleb Williams jersey.
I know you did. I know you did.
And
I know.
I'm going to be wearing it Sunday watching the game. I'm going to be wearing it when I come into the studio for a midnight to five show.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that, actually. So, I think I'm actually on before you that night doing the post game, so you and I can chat. We could do a little...
I heard you're on until five.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I'm on until five. Wait a minute. Where'd you get that information?
All
hey
right.
Chuck! Hey Chuck! I used to when Grobber was there, I would stay for an extra hour with him. So if you really want me, I would be happy to stay with you. But you might also have full bank of phone calls that you're gonna want to go through. But we'll when the time comes, and that's not that far off.
Nope.
Well, I'll be in there. You'll be in there, and we'll just have a big old Bears party. All right.
Yes, we will. Hey Mark, this has been great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Love talking to you, Chuck. I'll see you, man.
All right. Mark Grody joining us talking Bears football. We got lines open, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. About your take on the Chicago Bears. I mean, are you buying into the hype? Because I am. I think they're going to be terrific. I'll tell you what, this is just the start. You haven't seen nothing yet. You wait until this guy, Caleb Williams, wait until his third year, his fifth year. We're talking multiple Super Bowls. We're talking about one day this man will be in Canton, Ohio, and he won't need a ticket to get in. That's how good this quarterback's going to be. And you think I'm talking to Alex Koontz sitting across the glass. You look like, no. I haven't. I'm not taking any.
So, are you suggesting that?
No, you're suggesting
that Caleb Williams.
You're big time onions.
Yeah. The smirk on my face was me setting it up.
You think I've taken gummies?
No, I think that you're.
I'm Joe Bag of Donuts. I'm telling you, if you talk,
you're drinking the Bears Kool-Aid. That's fine.
If you talk to John Doe fan on the street or Jane Doe fan, politically correct, they will tell you that they're drinking Bears juice.
That's fair.
Okay.
This is the only thing I'll say. Multiple Super Bowls. Let's get the first one first. And then we can worry about the multiple part.
But, I mean, you don't think,
one.
All right. Well, number one, they've got... see, to me, I'm all in on Eberflus. I think he's a good coach. I really do. I mean, you got to have players. And he's going to get the players. So you've got a really good GM. They're setting themselves up for a really good run here, and that's all I'm saying. You know what? When they hoist the Lombardi Trophy in the next few years, when they get that first one, they should make a duplicate. Okay, just make a duplicate and send it to Carolina and say thank you, love Chicago, book it. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll have more coming up. Right here, this is Chuck Swirsky on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more, Rex.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
We're back with Chuck Swirsky on 670 The Score.
And we are back live on 670 The Score, getting ready for Cubs ball. Coming up at 6:05 tonight, Cubs, Pirates, Cubs, red hot, hottest team in MLB. They just went 8 of 9 on the road. They won 5 in a row. They're 20-8 since July 31st, only 3 out from that coveted wild card spot. And you never know. Once you get in, you never, ever know. So, again, keep your dial set, Cubs ball later tonight with Pack and Zach and Ron. And in the meantime, let's go to the phone calls at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. We're talking Bears football this segment. Let's go to Pat from Cedar Lake. Pat, what's on your mind? Good afternoon. Happy Labor Day.
Good afternoon, Chuck. Happy Labor Day, man. Chuck, I love you, man. I love you on the radio. I love you on Bulls Radio, the energy you bring. But come on, man. I got your take on using the words Canton, Ohio, and multiple Super Bowls when the guy hasn't even played a down in the NFL. I think there's a difference between drinking the Bears juice and using that vocabulary for not just Caleb, but for the Bears. Like,
well, wait a minute. I mean, are you obnoxious? I'm just telling you a fact. Are you a Bears fan?
I'm not.
You're not.
My family's
oh,
Bears fan.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me guess. You're a Packer fan.
I am.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
I'm not being biased.
There you go. If Caleb Williams was wearing green and gold or green and yellow, whatever they call those J-heads, I'm just saying that you would say, "Go, Caleb Williams going to Canton, and he's gonna have his name next to Lombardi Trophy." So there you
Chuck,
go.
I promise you, I wouldn't. I would, Chuck. I promise I wouldn't. I'm just looking at this as a
what?
As a Packer fan.
No.
As a level-headed football fan. That's
as a level-headed?
At the Bears,
I've never met a Packer fan that's level-headed.
I promise you, Chuck, I am. I'm not going the Packers route with this. I'm just saying that.
Level-headed
how many playoff victories do the Bears have in the last 10 years? One? Two playoff appearances? I mean, it should be baby steps, in my opinion, and everyone's entitled to their opinion. I'm not dogging that at all. I'm just saying, from where the Bears are at, where they've been, like, there's got to be a smaller gap there. Like, and I know you said 3 or 5 years down the road, and that's fine, but, like, I just think those words, like, shouldn't even be in the Bears' vocabulary. Like, it should be, hey, let's get a winning record.
I'm telling you right now. I'll bet you if you ask NFL player personnel directors, would you rather have the Packer roster or the Bears roster? They will say the Bears roster.
I don't know about that, Chuck. I don't know. No, it's close. I think it'd be 50-50, to be honest with you. Like, Packers have a great roster too, and I'm not saying that they're better than being biased. They both have great rosters. Love's looking great. Caleb is going to probably be great. They both have pretty deep rosters. I mean, I think they're fairly close, but just from the Bears' history, where they've been the last, in my lifetime, I'm 35 years old, my entire life, I've never seen a Bears quarterback play fairly well overall.
Well, you better get used to it, because I'll tell you what.
It just should be baby steps, in my opinion. That's all. Like, just not, not Canton, Ohio and multiple Super Bowls.
Well,
like,
I'm telling you what, right now, Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears might as well rent a suite at the finest hotel in Canton, Ohio, because you know what? One day he's going to be delivering the speech, and he's going to have Wendy hamburgers, he's going to have Dr. Pepper, all those days back at USC. And then this guy is going to be like, you know how Peyton Manning and Patrick Mahomes, and they had Aaron Rodgers over the last few years, they have been the face of the National Football League when it comes to commercials. You wait. When Caleb Williams owns the NFL, he will be on every commercial in the NFL and then some. I'm telling you right now, I see this happening. It's a clear and present vision that I have. And so I appreciate the call. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll have more coming up. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Alex, I'm serious. I am serious.
That was incredible. I just have to say that Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams is going to Canton.
From Cedar Lake, thank you.
Yeah, Pat. Yeah, I knew he was a Packer fan.
It was glorious.
Okay, yes. All right, we're going to take a break. Back with more in a moment. 670 The Score with Swirsk. Bam, bam, bam! And welcome back. Chuck Swirsky filling in for... Who am I filling in for, by the way, Alex?
You're filling in for Score Afternoons.
There you go. Afternoons with Matt Spiegel. If Matt's listening, by the way, Matt, you know, if you want to call in, fine. I'd love to have you. And we're talking Bears football. We're talking sports in general until 6. We got the Cubs. We got the Pirates. Quickly updating the scoreboard. Milwaukee blowing out the Cardinals 9-3. Baltimore with a 3-2 lead over the White Sox. And let's see, Cincinnati with a 2-0 lead over Houston in the second inning. Chuck Swirsky with you, doing the talk show. Joe Bag of Donuts, you gotta love it. And let's go to Mark Schanowski, who does an outstanding job. Anything he does, he is fabulous. Longtime anchor in Chicago on TV, fill in for Adam on Bulls basketball. Mark, what's going on? You good?
Just enjoying this beautiful weather on Labor Day, Chuck, and I know that you're a man for all seasons. You're always working, whether it's basketball season or not.
Yeah, no, so I do have a question for you. You came to Chicago what year?
1990.
So 1990. So I was in Chicago in 1979, but I want to talk about where the Bears were at 1990. So that must have been Ditka near the end of his run, right?
Right. Some of the players were starting to age. The offensive line was still together, but a lot of the players from the Super Bowl team had left the squad.
You know, I see Dave Wannstedt all the time. He lives here in Chicago. I see him walking downtown. He goes to Holy Name Cathedral with his family. His kids are living here. I think his grandkids are here and whatnot. So he came in, I want to say, 93, 94, somewhere in that window?
Yeah, I think it was 92. I think Ditka's last year was the 92 season.
Okay. So, you know, but I mean, listen, so many people are including me, love the hype of what's going on with the Bears, Mark. I mean, you run into a lot of fans and they're talking sports in Chicago. I mean, the Bears are going to own this city, right?
Well, especially when you look at the state of the other teams, all in various stages of rebuild and trying to get back to a consistent winning squad. And the Bears, so much excitement. I think the Hard Knocks program and HBO has helped fuel that as well. People get a chance to get behind the scenes and get to know these players a little bit better. And, of course, there's been so much hype surrounding Caleb Williams back from when he was a freshman at Oklahoma to his 2 years at USC. And Bears fans are just not used to having a prolific quarterback like that. I mean, everyone knows the stats. You know, they've never had a 4,000-yard season or a 30-touchdown season by a quarterback. And I don't know if Caleb will do that as a rookie, but, you know, the sky's the limit with a quarterback as talented as he is.
Yeah. Not only a rookie captain now, which is unheard of. So hats off for Caleb Williams. So I told this story a couple hours ago. So walking into 670 The Score, just a couple of blocks away, there's a Starbucks. So I had to get my tea, and I'm waiting in line, and people are talking Bears, and I get to the counter, and someone recognized me. And so they go, "Hey, when are the Bulls going to trade Zach LaVine?" Thinking, wait a minute, we got the Cubs on the verge of maybe, you know, coming out of nowhere over the last month, knocking on the door for a wild card. We got the Bears on the, you know, starting the NFL season in a handful of days. You know, but again, I love the passion of the fans. So how do you think this is playing out, Mark?
The LaVine situation, you're asking?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that he'll start the year with the Bulls and hopefully get back to the Zach LaVine, who was a two-time All-Star a 25 points a game plus scorer in the league. You know, those guys don't grow on trees, and he's only 29 years old. I think that if Zach can come out and play extremely well, either he can reestablish his trade value or the Bulls will decide that he's a guy that they can use as part of their core moving forward. He's under contract for a couple of more seasons, and I think that, you know, he certainly has a lot of great basketball in front of him. He had the foot surgery last year, but it wasn't a career-threatening type of injury, and he still is very much in his prime. I would not be surprised at all if he comes out and plays like gangbusters, and then the Bulls will have the decision whether to move him at the deadline to a contending team that maybe needs that one last score to maybe put them over the top, or they can keep him with this current mix. My guess, if I had to look into the crystal ball, is I think they'll still look to trade him given the way the roster is structured right now. You have so many young guys on the roster, so many guards. I think they'd like to see those guys blossom and maybe move Zach on and get some future draft assets.
Yeah, but you know what? It's hard to make a trade now in the NBA. You know, for many, many years, we always heard, you can move any contract in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And that was true up until the last CBA agreement with the second apron. And I'm not here to tell you I'm a capologist, but I can tell you there are penalties in place that will trigger that and really – It limits what teams can do compared to what they were able to do, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And so because of this, I think it's very difficult to move players.
Especially at the salary that Zach commands right now. And teams look at that second apron, and it just started last season, these new rules, and everyone is not exactly sure how it's going to work out. But the penalties, as you mentioned, are very punitive when you hit that second apron. It really ties your hands in terms of making trades. You know, you can't take back more money than you send out. You can't combine salaries and trades. If you get to a certain level where you hit a repeater, you could lose a draft pick. You know, there are all kinds of things that go into it where teams just are reluctant to hit that second apron unless they know that they have a chance to win a championship. And I think that's why the LaVine talks have been so slow. It's not that there aren't any teams in the league that want a player as talented as Zach LaVine. It's just that at his salary coming off an injury, and having more years left on that contract, that's a big commitment for you to make in terms of your future salary cap.
Yeah, you know what, Mark, in the big picture of things, this was a very mild offseason. It really was. I mean, there were no blockbuster stories. I mean, we can talk about Paul George going to Philadelphia and whatnot, but I'm talking about major trades, whatever. This way, and I think because of the reason why you just mentioned with the second apron, I think a lot of teams and a lot of owners and a lot of GMs are taking a wait-and-see approach because if one bad move, it could set them back for years, like years, right?
Yeah, and you look at a team like the Denver Nuggets who just won a championship 2 years ago. They let Kentavious Caldwell-Pope walk and join the Orlando Magic rather than make a big salary commitment to him, and they're going to go with younger guys off their bench. We're going to have to wait and see how that works out. They did add Russell Westbrook at a bargain contract, but he's getting a little bit up in years right now where I don't think you can count on him to be a major impact for that team. So now I think you're going to see where teams hit this situation where they can't pay all the guys on their current roster. You might be seeing some trades that are kind of head-scratchers in terms of trying to weigh the talent versus talent. I mean, you look at a team like Phoenix, they are so top-heavy, you know, with Durant and Bradley Beal and Booker, that they have really struggled to try to fill out the remainder of their roster. And we're going to see more and more situations like that where a team may have a really good starting five, but their bench is going to be mostly first and second year guys because they can't afford to add veterans in.
Yeah. You know, here's the dilemma that all GMs face, especially in the NBA. How much do you pay a player if you are 28, 29 years old and the kind of money now with the expanded and enlarged cap that these players are going to be making $50 million plus? And so at what point do you say to yourself, all right, I'm going to give this guy a five-year deal at you know, whatever it's going to be, $275, $300, $310, and you make that commitment, you better hope that that player, A, stays healthy, not only stays healthy, plays at a very high level that merited that contract, and then from there that you have to have winning players with him. Because if you give a player that way and that player gets hurt or that player just is starting with the arrow past his prime, it's going to be a nightmare for clubs. And I think that's what Denver's facing right now with Jamal Murray. Murray is coming up on his deal, and he's a wonderful player. But if you're Denver and you're looking at some of the issues he has now with injuries and how much he's got left on the tires, you have to start thinking about that same thing Miami with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, it's going to be really tough. Unless you are a definite top 20 player in the league who has been a part of a championship team, most NBA squads are going to be reluctant to give out these 4 and 5 year deals anymore. I mean, we saw what Boston did, and it paid off with a championship. They gave Jaylen Brown a record contract last summer, and then, of course, this year they extended Jason Tatum with a record contract, but they're coming off a championship and knowing that they're going to be the favorites going into next season, so they're not going to worry about 4 or 5 years down the road. They feel like they can win multiple championships with those two guys at the top. But any other team that is not assured of a deep run in the playoffs and tries to project their roster 2 and 3 years down the line, they're not going to want to be saddled with $30 million plus contracts for guys who are maybe the fourth or fifth best player on their roster, or guys off the bench who used to be able to command long-term deals. You're going to see more 2 and 3 year contracts because teams don't want to be locked into a situation where they can't make any moves as they move further down the road in their roster building.
Very true. Mark, before I let you go, give me how many wins for the Bears this year.
I think that they should win in the 10-11 range.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think the schedule sets up nicely for them in the fact that, it's a little bit easier at the front where Caleb Williams will be going through some growing pains. And like any rookie quarterback, I'm sure he's going to make some mistakes. But they have a chance, I think, to go 6-3, 7-2 to start the year. And then Caleb will have a full half season under his belt, and he'll be ready to take on those two games against the Lions and the Packers and the Vikings. I think that the schedule sets up really well for him, and they have what I consider to be a dominant defense. And whenever you have a good defense, you're going to be in just about every game. I'm very optimistic about the Bears this year.
Yep, and the great thing about having a great defense, when you get into November and December with that weather turning, it's all good, and it's all Bears. Mark, thank you. I'm sure I'll see you at the United Center soon.
Yeah, we're 4 weeks away from Media Day, Chuck, so it's almost here. I'm looking forward to it, and I can't wait to see you and get a chance to call some games again this year.
Awesome. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Chuck.
Mark Schanowski joining us, and we've got lines open. How many wins for the Bears? Alex, how many wins for the Bears? I mean, give me
a number.
I'm
going to say 9.
9?
Pragmatically.
Okay.
Although, I wanted to let you know that Lou called in. He couldn't come on the air. We got to Mark. But Lou wanted me to let you know that he thinks the Bears are going to win 14 games this year. To feel bad
is
about
that
your
Lou Kanellis?
Optimism. No, it was not Lou Kanellis.
Is that Lou Malnati?
It could be. I can
Lou
neither
the restaurant.
Confirm nor deny which Lou it was.
Okay.
But Lou was all about the Bears.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you've never called a sports talk show, and this is a great opportunity on Labor Day, right? Here we are. We're working. We're loving it. It's a passion. I'm feeling it. I'm Joe Bag of Donuts. And what's your favorite donut?
I like the old fashioned.
Do you have a specific?
I would say pistachio.
Do you have a specific donut shop that you like?
You know,
because I love donuts.
I do not.
You're
have
not
a specific,
donut. How can you be an American and
not
love donuts?
I know.
Really, you want to go to Canada to get Tim Hortons?
I've had Timbits before.
Yeah,
I like those, but.
We need to talk.
Okay, we'll talk in the break.
But I'm just saying, like, Do Right Donuts, the best.
Those are good. I have tried those.
Oh, my gosh.
Those are good.
I mean, the apple fritters and the chocolate glaze. Oh, I love donuts. I love, flat out, love donuts. But I'm just Joe Bag of Donuts doing this talk show until 6. And so we have lines open at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal, the raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.